29. Killian. Thanks to the scouts he'd sent ahead, the Ronis clan was prepared for their arrival. Soldiers belonging to the fortress garrison took charge of his men and their horses as they came through the gate. Only Killian, in the company of Sonia and Finn, headed on to the palace.
You sure there's gold to be found on the ground?
Finn muttered as they passed the man gates of the inner wall.
Because it looks like they used every ounce of it to build their palace.
The boy wasn't wrong. While the building itself was built from sandstone, very little of the rock was visible beneath all the gold leaf, gold plate, and gold paint. The centerpiece, a massive central dome that gleamed yellow in the sunlight. And having been here before, Killian knew the interior gleamed just as bright. A testament to Rowanus' wealth, but he'd never liked it. Had always preferred his family's home on the coast. Though equally as large, Terradale was built as much from wood as it was from stone. All balconies and open windows that allowed in breeze from the sea it overlooked. Surrounded by horse pastures and orchids full of fruit, Terradale seemed to breathe, whereas the only life to Rotan was the people living in it. Many of whom stood on the steps waiting, seemingly unfazed by the relentless heat of the sun overhead, and all of them related in some way to the king. None of them made a move or said a word until several servants approached with bowls of water and toweling. Killian wished he could dump the basin over his head, but settled on washing the travel from his hands. As he passed off the towel he'd used, the dark-haired woman at the head of the group said,
Lord Calorian, we are most pleased to welcome you and your soldiers.
Then she walked gracefully down the steps toward him. Lady Rhea Rowanus was King Sarek's niece and ruled Rotan in his absence. Perhaps in her mid-20s, she was small and pretty, her eyes the same amber hue as Malahai's. The similarity sent a jolt of pain into Killian's chest as he looked into them.
We are grateful for your hospitality, my lady.
She extended a hand, and he grazed her knuckles with his lips, extremely aware that he'd not had a proper bath in far too long and reeked of sweat and horse. But to her credit, she only smiled, then turned to Sonia, swiftly closing the distance to kiss her lieutenant's cheeks.
Darling, it has been too long.
He lifted one eyebrow.
You're acquainted?
Yes, of course, Rhea answered. I spent some years in Rivet, which is truly the brightest star in all of Wreath, and I had the pleasure of making Sonia's acquaintance.
Then she gave her head a little shake.
Kyra is a fool to have let you go.
Kyra's heart belongs to Gamdish,
Sonia answered, tucking her short, dark curls behind one ear.
I was a fool to have thought it might ever be otherwise.
Rhea made a soft noise.
Her loss is our gain. You and your blade are most welcome in Rotan.
Then she gestured to the steps.
We've much to discuss, but first you must refresh yourselves from the journey.
Are the war camp commanders here?
Killian asked.
I'd speak with them directly.
One of Rhea's eyebrows rose, and she looked him slowly up and down before saying,
It's been a long time since you were here last, Lord Calorian. But allow me to remind you that we've traditions in Rotan, and bathing is one of them.
Pulling off his clothing, Killian handed it to the attendant.
Most of it is beyond repair, he said, but do what you can.
The man held up Killian's torn and travel-stained garments, his brow furrowing. I'm sure we can procure something more appropriate, my lord. You did intend to dine with Lady Rhea this evening, yes?
Reluctantly. Nothing red. And most definitely nothing gold.
He glanced over at Finn, who was glaring at the attendant, trying to take his clothes from him.
Get the boy something appropriate while you're at it.
Wrapping a towel around his waist, Killian plucked up two bars of soap from the large collection on one of the tables and then caught Finn by the arm, hauling him out of the door and into the cool room housing the springs. It was open to gardens on the far side, the smells of flowers and leafy things filling Killian's nose as he strode toward the pool,
which was empty.
That man took my things,
Finn grumbled.
He'd better not pocket anything, or I'll...
The only thing in your pockets worth taking are things you took from mine, Killian interrupted. Then he pushed a bar of soap and a cloth into Finn's hand.
Scrub. With the soap. My horse smells better than you do.
And as you might have noticed, the Roe and his clan are an uppity sort about such things.
I know how to wash,
Finn scowled.
And you aren't smelling so fresh yourself, you know.
Then I suppose we'd both better get to it. Wading down the steps, Killian clenched his teeth against the chill of the water, then dunked his head under before setting to ridding himself of the grime he'd accumulated, the circulating water whisking away the clouds of dirt and sweat and blood. He cast a sideways glance at Finn, ensuring his newly minted squire was doing the same. And the sight of the boy with his curly hair frothed white with soap foam almost made him laugh. Almost.
Rotan is a nice place, Finn commented,
then snarled a string of curses he'd probably learned from Sonia as his soap slipped from his grip, floating to the bottom of the pool. When he emerged with it once again in hand, he added,
How long are we staying?
We'll leave in the morning. Killian tossed his cloth and soap on the edge of the pool, and a young attendant scurried forward to replace them with a chilled glass of wine, which Killian drained. The attendant swiftly returned with another, which Killian drank as well. He'd needed the whole damned bottle to survive the night here.
Why so soon?
Finn motioned to the attendant.
I'll have some of that. Where's it from? I have a taste for good vintage.
He'll have water, Killian corrected. Or juice.
Juice? Why?
Because you're only 14 years old, Killian answered, having finally gotten the true number from his young friend on their journey south.
And because you need a level head.
And because I said so. Finn glowered, accepting the cup of juice from the attendant, who also brought Killian another glass of wine. He drank that one, too, exhaling as it finally started to take effect, a buzzing heat filling his veins.
We're here to put an end to the Anuk raids, Finn, not to laze about in luxury. You just don't appreciate it,
Finn muttered, and Killian faintly picked up his added mutter of, Entitled fancy pants lord that you are.
Don't forget to wash behind your ears, Killian said, then dodged the bar of soap Finn tossed straight at his head.
Turning his back on his friend, Killian rested his forearms on the edge of the pool, staring at a potted plant, but not really seeing it. Being here made him think of Malahai, made him wonder if her body had been found, whether it ever would be.
Killian,
Finn whispered, pulling him from his thoughts.
Killian!
Turning, he said,
What?
Finn's eyes were wide.
There's women around the corner! I can hear them talking.
The pool was U-shaped. One end for women and one for men, though Killian had heard it was common for both to meet in the middle.
What of it?
Finn glanced over his shoulder to ensure the attendant wasn't within earshot, then whispered,
I bet they're not wearing clothes.
It is common practice to remove them while bathing, he responded, pretending not to see where Finn was going with this. His interest in girls had grown, and he'd subjected Killian to endless speculation and commentary during their travels. Only Sonia threatening to drown him in a pond had silenced him on the issue.
We could go over there, Finn whispered. If we keep low, they won't notice us.
Killian lifted one eyebrow.
You do know that Sonia is over there with them.
Oh, right. Finn made a face.
Probably not a good idea then. She's not interested in men.
What she's not interested in is skinny little shits who try to peep at her while she's bathing.
You could go over there. I bet they wouldn't mind that at all.
Snorting, Killian shook his head.
Probably.
But the reason I can go over there is because they know that I won't.
That doesn't make any sense.
Put your head to the task of figuring it out and drink your juice.
I'm trying to relax.
Ignoring Finn's affronted glower, he sipped at yet another glass of wine. Now that he was paying attention, he could make out the sound of Sonia's voice, along with several others, including Rhea's.
I'm bored, Finn said. I'm going to go see what that thief did with my clothes.
Don't wander, Killian muttered, then pushed away from the wall, swimming slowly toward the far end. Once there, he rested his arms on the edge, watching the sunlight and gardens, his mind drifting to Lydia.
I choose this.
Her voice floated through his thoughts, and he closed his eyes. The vision of the last time he'd seen her filling his mind. How the wind had caught at the loose strands of her hair, whipping them around her beautiful face. Those upturned green eyes seeming to see into his soul. He'd have done anything she'd asked in that moment. But what she'd asked was for him to let her go.
Why didn't she choose me?
As soon as the thought voiced itself, he shoved it away, annoyed with himself because the answers were clear. Choosing him would have meant him fighting his own people to get her away from Quindor. Them running away and abandoning Mudamora. And neither of them would have been happy with that life. Which would eventually mean neither of them would be happy with each other.
And keep in mind, you didn't choose her either,
he muttered to himself.
You chose Mudamora.
It didn't make him feel any better.
Get your head together,
he growled at himself.
Serik didn't send you here to fret about girls. He sent you here to deal with the Anuk.
Except Anuk raiders and Rowanus gold mines seemed distant concerns, his mess of a mind refusing to focus on armies and strategies and instead leaping back to that kiss. How was it that it wasn't the pain of having a spear wrenched from his side that he remembered, but the soft press of her lips against his? The feel of her hair falling against his face as she gave up her strength to save his life.
You could get to Mudair in a week if you switched horses often enough.
It wasn't the first time that thought had entered his head, that it would be an easy thing for him to go to the city to see her.
And then what?
His imagination was all too willing to supply suggestions for what he might do when he got there, kissing her being first and foremost among them. And no part of him wanted to stop there. Turning his back against the wall of the pool, he closed his eyes and sank under the water, hoping the cold would temper the thoughts running through his head of the times he'd seen her wearing very little, her long legs seeming to go on forever.
Gods.
What he wouldn't give to have those wrapped around him while he kissed those perfect lips of hers. To rip off her clothes and drink in the sight before losing himself entirely.
Cool it, Killian,
he ordered himself. But it was wasted words. The lust he could control. But with her, it was so much more than that. And instead of seeing her naked body, he saw her bent over sick orphans, saving their lives. Saw her sacrificing her own body to protect Gwyn when the other girl had fallen beneath the mob. Saw her tirelessly fighting to get back to Celandor to free Tyrianna, no matter the cost to herself. She was the bravest person he'd ever met. The most loyal. The most selfless. A girl worth fighting for. He needed to breathe. His heartbeat grew rapid, his chest tightening and muscles starting to spasm. But he didn't want to give up the silence under the water. The darkness. Her face. It was only when the need was so desperate he couldn't deny it any longer that Killian broke the surface, gasping in mouthfuls of air, and found himself face to face with Lady Rhea Rowanesse.